If you've been following me on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, then I suspect by now you will have heard the tremendous news that we are all incredibly excited about and thrilled about, that finally our campaign to end single banding on individual rooms in HMOs has finally happened. Yes, we have won. We have won. Our campaign has been running for 2 years. We officially launched about December 2021. So it's nearly 2 years ago that we started to fight as a group against this iniquitous situation where individual non-self-contained rooms were being banded by the Valuation Office Agency for council tax. And this has affected landlords, it's affected tenants, it's also affected local authorities who have to administer it. And of course, there's been lots of tribunal hearings at the Valuation Tribunal as well. So it has been a massive impact on the industry, on the HMO industry. And I, for one, am absolutely delighted and also a little bit relieved that we have won our campaign. We fought this campaign incredibly well over 2 years, through many means and methods, and I can't claim all the glory. It was down to you, our listeners, our followers. If you've written to your local MP, if you've made your voice heard, if you've stood up for your rights, if you've complained to the local council, if you've engaged with your tenants, this is down to you. It's down to our committee. We have a wonderful HMO Council Tax Reform Group committee, and everybody on that committee has put in hours of work on this issue, all unpaid, all voluntary. So I must really shout out to them. And those people include Darren Brewer, Alan Murdy, Matt Baker, John McClelland, Neil Chadder, Robert Johnson, and also we have an admin person who doesn't wish to make known who he is, but he's kept us all on track, organising meetings and ensuring that the group has been running smoothly. And of course, I have chaired that group over the last 2 years. So what does this mean? What has actually happened? Well, if you haven't heard the news yet, we as an HMO Council Tax Reform Group have released a couple of press releases over the weekend. In fact, more than a couple, quite a number. So you may start to see this in mainstream news as well as on the sort of property news portals, in which case you can read our full press release there. But suffice it to say that we are absolutely delighted that the government has listened to our campaign to get rid of council tax on individual rooms in HMOs, which are not self-contained. And that's an important part of it. And I'm going to read out some parts from the government website in terms of their response in a moment. And you'll see that part of their response includes addressing the issue of rooms that are self-contained. Now, there's going to be a lot of questions following on from this announcement. Already over the weekend, I've been mulling over some of the queries that landlords are going to have, that tenants are going to have as well. And I just want to reassure you that if this issue has affected you or you're interested in it, then the Council Tax Reform Group is going to be running a couple of follow-up webinars, because we know that there are questions that still remain unanswered. But in the meantime, we can all celebrate. We can crack open something bubbly. It doesn't have to be alcoholic. Just do something to celebrate, because this is a really, really big win. And some people are calling it the biggest win for the private rental sector in over 20 years. And possibly with some of the changes that have happened that we haven't been able to reverse, the fact that we have been able to reverse this one does say a lot about the power of a group coming together and fighting for a cause. So the government has responded, and I'll put the link below in the show notes for the podcast so you can see what the response has been by the government. But it's really interesting, actually, some of the things that they have stated on the website. This is what they say. The government recognises the issue raised during the consultation on the way HMOs are currently valued for the purposes of council tax. The government will make changes to deliver a framework that ensures that all HMOs are valued as a single property for the purposes of council tax. A small number of councils noted that the proposed changes may result in a reduction in council tax income. This is, of course, for the local authority. But the Valuation Office agency has estimated that only a small proportion of HMOs are currently not aggregated into one property. Well, that's good news because it means it's not going to have a massive knock-on impact on local authority income, which would have provided a lot of resistance to these changes. They also note on their website, this should also help ease administrative burdens for councils, as the council tax liability should remain with the landlord in the usual way, rather than moving to individual tenants who may occupy the property for a short period of time. So 3.2, amendments to legislation. And this is the bit that I love. The government will amend legislation to ensure HMOs are valued as a single property for the purposes of council tax. This will be achieved through amendments to existing legislation, including the Council Tax, brackets chargeable dwellings, close brackets order 1992, and related regulations. These amendments to legislation will apply to all HMOs, including both licensed and unlicensed HMOs. So even if you have a four-bed HMO, and we've come across a few small HMOs that have had their rooms disaggregated, rebanded for council tax purposes, it includes you. So it's really, really good news for all HMOs. I'm going to be very interested to read the legislation. I don't know whether they're going to adopt the wording that our barrister, Alan Murdy, has written. He proposed a format, a framework for the amendment, and it might be that the government decides to adopt his amendment, lock, stock and barrel, in which case I think he needs a special shout out and maybe even a medal to note that he has... His writing has now become actually statute. What he's written will become statute law by the end of the year. Now, one of the other questions that was raised following a letter that Michael Gove wrote was about exceptional circumstances. And again, the government has covered this in their response. The majority of respondents stated that they preferred a definition that provided consistency. And I think that's great that they heard that. The government believes in the principle that any property with access to shared facilities, as included in the Housing Act 2004 definition of HMOs, should be valued as a single property for the purpose of council tax valuations. This will ensure a consistent outcome for the valuation of HMOs. So, in other words, they're going to use the Housing Act 2004 definition of HMOs as a basis for implementing the changes set out in this consultation response. And then they go on to say further, the government does not consider it appropriate to extend the exemptions in Schedule 14 to the Housing Act 2004 to legislation implementing the change in which HMOs are valued for council tax purposes. So the Housing Act 2004 definition talks a lot about, you know, what actually is an HMO, and it's three unrelated people living in a property where there are shared facilities. Basically, that's basically the understanding of an HMO. But as they note, there are other definitions of HMOs, including converted blocks of flats and self-contained flats. Now, what the government have said, which is what we had said from the beginning, if they are self-contained, then they will be exempt from any changes in council tax valuation. In other words, they will continue to have their own council tax banding applied because they're self-contained. And then another point that the government states, where an HMO contains annexes or self-contained units, the change will ensure that where a unit within an HMO has shared facilities and is included as part of the HMO, then the whole HMO property should be valued as one property. Annexes and self-contained accommodation that do not form part of an HMO, as defined by the Housing Act 2004, will continue to be valued in the usual way. In other words, as individual properties, individual dwellings. So there is real clarity there on the website. Now, of course, there's going to be some supplementary questions that might start to arise in your mind. And again, we are not unfamiliar with those. We're not ignorant of those questions. And I myself have some questions about further implications of this, of this change to legislation, which I'll come on to. Now, the final paragraph is about the approach to implementation. The government objective is for HMOs, which are currently not aggregated, in other words, they've been separated room by room, to be brought in line with new legislation as soon as practically possible. In order to deliver the policy objective, the VOA will work with councils to proactively identify licensed HMOs that have not been aggregated and reband affected properties. The VOA will aim to make such changes within 2 months of the legislation coming into effect. The government is keen that unlicensed HMOs that have not been aggregated are also brought into line with new legislation. Landlords or tenants of unlicensed HMOs will be able to submit a proposal to the VOA to reband affected HMOs and bring their council tax banding in line with new legislation. The VOA will have a statutory 4-month deadline to respond to such proposals. Now, it's really interesting because the next steps, which is the very final statement, says, through this consultation response, the government is setting out its policy intention with regards to the council tax treatment of HMOs. The government will lay regulations later this year with the intention that the policy change comes into force before the end of 2023. So it's good that they're trying to move fast, and I appreciate that because quite often with these government legislative implementation timelines, they can take a long time to actually come into law. That seems to be what they're trying to avoid. They want this to happen fast. But if you're a landlord of an HMO and your property has been disaggregated, let's say you've done a deal with your tenants whereby you are charging them slightly less rent because they're now responsible for paying council tax. Well, what if your property suddenly gets rebanded as one whole property, maybe on a band C or band D even for council tax, which wouldn't be unthinkable. And now you're responsible for paying that one council tax bill. What about your ASTs with your tenants? You're now going to have to think about how you're going to increase the rent because now you're responsible again for the council tax. You may have done this deal with your tenants whereby they're paying less rent because they're now responsible for, or they were responsible for council tax. They're no longer responsible for council tax. So you're now going to have to increase rent to cover your costs. Again, I don't think the government has really thought this through. She says, more hair being pulled out of her head. Other issues. What if you're a landlord and you've got a property and maybe a few years ago it was disaggregated, you've learned to live with it. You've got all your systems in place. You know that each room is rebanded and that when your tenants move in, you tell them, you explain it to them. They're happy about it because they can apply for the single person discount. They might even be able to apply for other exemptions. They get cheaper rent as a result. They're happy. Well, do you want your property to be re-aggregated? What choice do you have in the matter? What if you don't want your property to be re-aggregated? The people I come across, I would say that is a minority of people, a minority of landlords. Most landlords would far rather have their property aggregated and would far rather know that they are responsible for paying the council tax. And generally, of course, when it's one single banding for one property, it comes in as cheaper than having all the individual rooms banded separately, because the lowest band you can have is a band A. And obviously, if you've got 6 band A's, that's, let's say, £600 a month, whereas one band C is more likely to be £200 a month. So there are, or maybe even less than that, actually. So I know that most landlords would not want to have their rooms disaggregated, but, you know, there might be some who do. Again, has the government really thought this through? I think there are some questions to be asked. So the other issue is going to be about arrears and backdated dates of effective arrangement. So the Valuation Office Agency, when they have been going in re-banding properties and creating rooms that are banded, what they'll also often do is backdate that. So the date of effective change could be a year or 2 years prior to when you actually found out that your property was going to be disaggregated. So you now have 2 years of backdated council tax bills. Now, in theory, you're not responsible for those as a landlord, because with the rooms having been disaggregated, the onus now moves on to the tenant to pay. But is it fair to give tenants backdated 2 years council tax payment? Many of those tenants will have moved out of those HMOs. You know, we know for a lot of HMOs, the average length of stay is about 6 to 9 months. Well, you might have had two or three sets of tenants since then. How do you give the backdated arrears bill of council tax to those tenants now? It's an impossible administrative nightmare. Now, we know that not only have landlords been really caught in this trap, so have local authorities, because they ultimately are chasing the taxpayer, the tenant who's liable to pay this bill. But the likelihood is they're not going to be able to collect it. What about other situations where the arrears has been paid by the landlord, and the landlord has paid maybe many thousands of pounds, only to find that their HMO is now going to be re-aggregated? Well, that's good news from the point of view of moving forward, but there is a question about their arrears. Are there going to be some cases brought against the government? Are there going to be some compensation claims brought for misuse of VOA policy and losses incurred as a result of what the policy has been in the past? I think these are all questions yet to be answered. And as the HMO Council Tax Reform Group, we want to start to think through some of the implications. We can't promise to have all the answers. All we can do is help you to stay informed and educated and understand what's happening, to keep you up to date with it and to keep fighting on your behalf. On another point, you might have seen that the NRLA has claimed the glory on this win. And you might have also seen some of my comments because, yeah, I am a little bit aggravated by it, if I'm truthful. I'm delighted that we've got the victory. I'm delighted that we've won for the sake of many HMO landlords up and down the country. But I am slightly miffed that Ben Beadle has decided to take the glory for the NRLA. It's the HMO Council Tax Reform Group that have pressed forward on this. Our lobbying of MPs, our formation of the Facebook group to keep people informed about what's happening, our writing of templates so that you could write to your MP more easily, our advice about the consultation, our widespread sort of education about the consultation, which meant that, by the way, it got far, far more responses than I think it would have done if we hadn't been promoting the consultation. I just feel like, what have the NRLA done? They've written a couple of press releases, and we have continuously tried to engage them to make this more visible, and they really were not interested. Every invitation that we made, they either ignored it or, you know, kicked it into the long grass. And now they're saying that it's because of the NRLA that this has been, this reform has happened. And I just patently dispute that and feel quite cross that they are claiming the glory. In fact, I saw somebody saying, oh, maybe this is a reason to join the NRLA now. And that really made my blood boil, because I thought, well, it wasn't because Darren and I and the other members of the committee were members of the NRLA that this happened. This is because we, as a small group of concerned individuals, decided to make a change, and we were deciding to fight. And as I said from the very beginning, I'm not going home without a fight. And if this means I fight to my dying day on this matter, I will do. And I'm really, really pleased that the victory is ours. We have won this fight now for you as a landlord, for you as a tenant. This is something which will go down in history. And it may be a small part of a small niche of the private rental sector, but let's not remember, folks, that we represent a large part of the accommodation provided in the UK for people who need it, for people who want it. And we have made history today, and I think it's incredibly valuable to celebrate it. So I don't want to dismiss and undermine what we've achieved with sour grapes. I will leave that for another day. But today I do want to say thank you to you. Thank you to the HMO Council Tax Reform Group Committee, who have been amazing. Thank you to the MPs who made this happen. It was a cross-party group of MPs who put pressure on the housing department and also on the VOA. And we made it happen, folks. So never, ever, ever underestimate the power that a group of committed individuals can make in what might feel a bit like a big sector. But we can do it. We can do it when we band together. We can make it happen. I hope you have a great day, and I'll speak to you very soon.